You know, one of the things we've been looking at over the last few weeks is this idea of being better together. And one of the things that we're going to look at this morning very briefly, and we'll finish it up tonight, is this idea of relationship destroyers and relationship builders. And some of the things that we find as we live our life, and especially as you become a follower of Jesus, is you realize, especially after some of the verses that we've looked at over the last few weeks, that we were created to belong to a community of believers, the family of God. But in reality, we struggle with that so much that sometimes if we're not careful, we fight more at disconnecting each other from the family of God than we do with connecting everybody with the family of God. And one of the reasons that happens is sometimes because we struggle with our relationships. We struggle sometimes in our relationships as husbands and wives. We struggle sometimes in our relationships as brothers and sisters in Christ. We struggle at work, sometimes with relationships at home, at school, wherever we go, we seem to struggle with that idea. So I want us to read a passage this morning, and then we'll finish it up tonight. But beginning in Titus 3, let's pick up in verse number 1. Remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy toward all people. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. One of the tremendous blessings I had as a young guy growing up was that my grandfather retired early. And that probably doesn't mean a whole lot to you, but for me, having a mom and dad who worked and being, you know, basically assigned to my grandparents as a young guy, it was a treat because I got to travel with them everywhere they went. And we traveled all over the South. And one of the neat things of being the grandson of an elder is he knew lots of different churches, lots of different preachers. So when we would travel, when Sunday mornings came, we would always go to worship somewhere. And for me as a young guy, it was such a treat because it was almost like every time I walked into a new church, I got to experience an extension of my family. Because I would walk into a church and they would sing the same songs and they would gather around the Lord's table on the first day of the week, and they would observe the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, and they would give, and there would be a message. And it just felt like, as a young guy, I had this extended family everywhere I went. And then I grew up a little bit, studied Scripture, and realized, guess what? That's exactly what it was. And the strange thing about being a part of a family is this. We have relationships with each other that can either be built or they can be destroyed. And one of the things that is so important for us as a family to realize is this. We will always be better when we are together. So I want you to think about the question I asked you earlier. When was the last time you said you were sorry? When was the last time not only that you told your spouse that you were sorry, but when was the last time that you told somebody here who's a brother or sister of yours that you're sorry for something that you said or something that you did? You see, the same thing that we do with God, this whole aspect of recognizing that we've sinned against God and we want to make sure that he knows that we are sorry, that whole godly sorrow that leads to true repentance, the whole idea of recognizing that, hey, God, I've messed up, I've made a mistake, please forgive me, is the very same type of action that I believe we need to be thinking about when it comes to us as brothers and sisters in Christ. To think about this morning for a moment and to say, when was the last time that you said, God, I'm sorry? When was the last time that you opened up and said, today is the day that I'm going to recognize that maybe for the last week, maybe for the last 2 weeks, maybe for the last 6 months, I myself have been living in rebellion to God, maybe not openly, maybe it's been privately, maybe it's been thoughts, maybe it's been whatever it is, and I haven't acknowledged my sin and said, God, please forgive me? When was the last time as you as a spouse said to your spouse, I'm really, really sorry. I'm sorry for letting you down. I'm sorry for breaking this covenant that we made where I said I was going to always keep you in sickness and in health. I was going to always honor you higher than anyone else. I was always going to look after you. I was always going to care for you. I'm sorry for letting you down. When was the last time you did that? When was the last time that you looked at a brother or sister here that maybe you've been trying to disconnect from and you recognize, you know what, I really and truly just need to spend some time saying, I'm sorry. When you look at Titus 3 and you understand the whole aspect of what is being said there in those first seven verses. It's this idea of before they were followers of Jesus, there was quarreling and there was fighting. There was this disconnection where people were at each other's throats. And then all of a sudden, you know, the whole idea of hated by others and hating some and all this idea. But when they became followers of Jesus, there was something different that happened. That now they truly understood this idea of being connected. Being members of one another. This is hard. But it's one of the reasons why I think followers of Jesus should always have happy marriages. It doesn't mean they're going to be perfect. It doesn't mean that they're going to be without problems and without struggles. It's one of the reasons why I think Christians should have happy relationships with people who are their friends. Because when we become a follower of Jesus, we put off the old ways of being selfish and being prideful and wanting our way and wanting what we want. And all of a sudden now we become so much more interested in other people. How many of you this morning need to recognize that maybe you haven't acknowledged your sin to God in a long time? And maybe for you it's just become so comfortable to continue living in it and hiding it that you just don't want to deal with it. Or maybe it's between you and a spouse. Maybe you haven't just said to your spouse, I'm sorry, I let you down. And I'm going to do everything that I can to show you. Remember what it was like to date your spouse? Do y'all remember that? For those of you that have been married 50 years, maybe you don't. 60 years, maybe you don't. Do you remember how hard you worked to build a relationship out of thin air? Where you were trying to find common interest and you were willing to give up things and you were willing to sacrifice time, energy, and money just to build this relationship. And she said yes, after you spent all that time building a relationship. The trouble is, many times we spend much more time building relationships than we do maintaining relationships. In fact, I truly believe that if we would court each other more in marriages, there'd be a lot less marriages in court. If we spent more time maintaining relationships than we did just building relationships, I think our marriages would get better. I think our churches would get happier. I think our workplaces would become more cohesive. I think school places would be places where you're not arguing, fighting, and fussing, that you're spending more time trying to look after each other and encourage each other. So the question is this morning, do you need to say you're sorry? Or maybe you need to say, I love you. Maybe you need to tell God, I'm sorry, I've let you down, I've dropped the ball, I see myself as you see me, please forgive me for my sin. Or maybe this morning it's quite simply, somebody here is a brother and sister that you need to say, hey man, I'm sorry. I've let you down, I've said some things that have hurt you, I recognize that, and because of Jesus, I've asked him to forgive me, and I'm asking you to forgive me. It's a wonderful thing when we understand the cohesive nature of the family of God rests solely in this. Forgiven people forgive each other. If you need to come and ask God to forgive you or to ask someone else to do it, I encourage you to do it while we stand and sing.